Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Well, today we have something a little different for you. We're going to do some afternoon radio. These are the soap programs made for women, and they're called soap operas because they were selling soap. So that's pretty plain and simple, isn't it? We're going to start off with an episode of Claudia. Then we'll go to the Goldbergs. Then the story of Mert and Marge, and we'll wrap it up with the romance of Helen Trent. So here we go. Get your hankies out.
Your Coca-Cola bottler presents Claudia. Claudia, based on the original stories by Rose Franken. Brought to you, transcribed Monday through Friday, by your friendly neighbor who bottles Coca-Cola. Relax, and while you're listening, refresh yourself. Have a Coke. And now, Claudia.
Office of Roger Killian. Mr. Norton, he's busy on another call. Will you hold on for a moment?
Can I see Mr. Norton?
Mr. Norton's busy and he has another call waiting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll just sit here.
Oh, why, you're Mrs. Norton, aren't you?
Well, yes, how do you know?
Well, I certainly ought to recognize you. I've heard your voice so often.
And you're Carol, I mean Miss...
Miller.
Mr. Norton talks so much about Carolyn, I guess I've gotten used to thinking of you without a last name.
Well, just keep on calling me Carolyn. You can go right in, Mrs. Norton.
Isn't he busy?
I don't think he could be too busy to see you. Mr. Kelly, you can have Mr. Norton now.
Hello. David.
Hello. Oh, hello, darling. I'll be off the phone in a minute. No, I didn't call you darling, Kelly. I've been calling you a lot of things this afternoon, but darling wasn't one of them. Sit down, darling.
Thank you.
Now, look, your contract calls for the structural steel specifications to be completed today, and you're late. All right, then. Work overtime. We pour concrete at 8 in the morning. If your steel isn't ready, we'll pour it down your neck. Oh. I can forget about it, huh? That's all I wanted to hear you say. And good luck.
Darling, you're wonderful pouring all that concrete down people's necks. Do you do that all day?
Do what?
Throwing things around and bellowing at Mr. Kelly and...
Bellow at Kelly?
You sounded as if you're ready to kill each other.
He's my pal. He's a honey and a sweetheart with steel.
You didn't talk to him as if he were.
Listen, darling, I was so gentle, he probably thinks I'm mad at him. Kelly uses language like steel, strong and to the point. Oh, hello. Hello, Kelly. No, I wasn't sore. If you say the job will be ready, then it'll be ready. I just wanted to hear you say it. What? Oh, there was a lady in my office, you thick-headed galoot. I said a lady. The lady's my wife. Yeah, sure, I'll tell her. Yeah, so long. You see, his feelings were hurt. He thought I was angry with him because I spoke so nicely to him.
David, I'm seeing a brand new side of you. I like it, darling. Kiss me.
Well, I...
Now, what do you want me to come to town for? What are you going to tell me?
Tell you?
Yes, your sweetheart with steel said to tell your wife something.
Oh, he...
Go on, what?
Well, he said to ask you what a fine girl like you was doing married to a mug like me.
What a beautiful compliment. I don't know that it is. He hasn't seen me.
Well, that was just his way of saying that you must be a fine girl if such a wonderful mug as I married you.
You know, I think I like Mr. Kelly. Kiss me again, wonderful mug. David, you realize this is the first time I've been in your office. It's a very lovely one.
Has to be. We work with all of our clients here.
And I didn't know you could see all over the city like this from your windows. Golly, I'm glad I've seen it.
What? All over the city?
Yes. Now when I call you up, I'll be able to imagine you much better. I'll think of you looking out of this window.
Must you? Must I? The window's behind me when I sit at the desk. It'll be sort of inconvenient turning around to suit your imagination.
All right, then I'll imagine you're looking at your office. It certainly is a lovely office, darling.
Everything seems lovely to you. Say, you're not really like this all the time, are you?
What? Oh, don't worry. I'll never be saccharine sweet, I promise. But this is an especially lovely day.
Why?
Because I'm seeing you. What time is it?
You know, sometimes you even interrupt yourself, Claudia. It's 4:30. Why?
Because I'm seeing you exactly 2 hours and 30 minutes earlier than usual. Say, David, why'd you want me to come downtown?
It's a nice time of year for taking a walk, don't you think?
Do you mean to tell me you asked me to come all the way downtown on a bus just to take a walk?
Well, when you take a walk, you've got to start somewhere. What's wrong with downtown?
Nothing wrong at all. It's wonderful, darling. Let's go.
Carolyn, I won't be back. Tell Mr. Killian that Kelly promises his end of the job will be finished on schedule tonight.
I made a note of it. Good night, Mr. Norton.
Good night.
Good night, Mrs. Norton.
Good night, Miss Miller. She seems awfully efficient.
Wonderful girl.
She's awfully pretty, too.
Is she?
Haven't you noticed?
Nope.
If that were true, I'd be awfully mad if I were Miss Miller.
But you aren't, so you're not. I'll look at Carolyn carefully tomorrow.
I suppose she's in love with you.
Who? What do you mean? Carolyn? Why?
If I were she, I'd fall in love with you.
Oh, I'm not her type.
Well, what a nerve. Why aren't you her type, I'd like to know?
I don't know. She had her chance for a couple of years, but she turned me down flat.
Oh.
You got me on the rebound.
She's not so efficient.
Well, actually, she is, darling. Miss Miller is really Mrs. O'Neill. She got married 3 years ago to a young engineer.
And it didn't work, so she's Miss Miller again.
On the contrary. They've got a baby. Only we never got out of the habit of calling her Miss Miller. So she's still Miss Miller at the office.
If anybody continued to call me Miss Brown, I wouldn't like it.
All right, Mrs. Norton. What shall we do?
Well, you said a walk. It's such a lovely afternoon. Let's walk home, hmm?
Say, you know, it would be a lovely afternoon to have a car and drive up the river away and have dinner someplace.
Oh, wouldn't it?
Well, if wishes were horses...
We'd all be kings.
Mm-mm. Beggars would ride.
Same thing.
Well, how would you like to own that car?
Which one?
That one, over there.
That big black limousine? No, let's not.
But, lady, it's a handsome piece of mechanism.
Oh, but stuffy. It wouldn't look like us. And we'd always be having to live up to his chauffeur.
All right. We won't take that one. Now, how about the one behind it?
That's more like it, but, no, not yet.
What do you mean, not yet?
It looks too married.
Well, we're fairly well married.
No, what I mean is that some sedans get to look like their owners. That one's a nice car, but it really isn't ours yet.
I didn't know that cars had such complicated personalities.
Sure they have. They're like a book. You can read them. Look, see the hand marks on the rear windows? That's children, three at least. And the dull paint on the fenders, that's weekends at the beach. And the scratches on the door...
That's the dog they have to that begs to be taken along.
Yes.
Now, read the one behind the sedan.
That is a lovely car.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
That says all kinds of things.
Like what, for instance?
Oh, it's gay and young and very happy.
And the top fold back.
Of course it does. So the winds can blow through your hair. It's lean and low and it's quick like hearts in love. David, a car like that makes me feel absolutely poetical.
Does it look married?
Engaged or just married.
Why just married?
Because the top that goes back wouldn't be so good with babies. They'd have sniffles all the time.
Mm-hmm. How would you like it?
I wouldn't.
But you were just going into ecstasy about it.
But I wouldn't like it for us.
Why?
Because it's my philosophy not to envy things that I can't have. We couldn't have a car like that in a million years.
A million years is a long time. Even a little longer than you have to wait for delivery of a car these days.
David.
Look, I'll tell you what. Let's just pretend that it's ours.
All right. One pretend, and that's all.
How about going up the river for a drive, and then about an hour on the parkway, there's a little inn beside a brook.
There wouldn't be a waterfall.
Yep, I believe there is.
Wonderful. And we'd have the top down?
Yep.
And there'd be the smell of burning leaves?
One autumn leaves coming up.
Oh, let's go home. I'm very happy. I had a lovely drive.
You were too quick for me. I haven't come back yet. Claudia, do me a favor.
Yep?
My imagination isn't as good as yours. Let's just sit in it for a moment.
Are you crazy? And the man who owns it comes along, we'd have an awful time explaining we were just imagining. David, stop.
Shh. People will think we're stealing the car.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Hush up and sit down now and make yourself comfortable.
I warn you, if the owner comes along, I'm not going to make any excuses for you. I'm going to claim I've never seen you before. I'll tell him you were in the act of kidnapping me. David, don't touch anything on that dashboard. David, the engine started.
Well, what do you know? We live in an age of marvels. You just press the button.
David, you lost your mind. You're completely insane. This is stealing somebody else's
now,
car.
Come on, don't get yourself upset. We're not stealing it. We'll just drive around the block and they'll never know the difference.
Hey, mister.
Yes?
You got your lights on.
Oh, so they are. Thanks.
David, my heart stopped. Please get out before something happens. It's happened. David, they'll even send us to separate jails.
Hey, you! You know what you just did?
I do.
You went through a red light.
I did.
Are you trying to kid me?
Not at all, officer. Do you drive a car?
Yes, I drive a car. Say, I'm questioning you. You ain't questioning me.
I had started to cross the intersection before the light changed.
When I looked, mister, the light was red.
Well, if you'd have looked an instant earlier, it would have been green.
Yeah? That happened to me once in Jersey City. And the thick head gave me a ticket.
Well, they haven't got such good cops in Jersey City.
You ain't kidding. All right, buddy, get going.
All right, buddy. Buddy, you dipsomaniac.
Kleptomaniac.
Just plain maniac. This is the most horrible nightmare I've ever had.
Well, darling, fall out of bed and wake up and read this.
It's the registration. It says Naughton, Hartley Naughton. And it's your brother's car.
Mm-hmm. Or rather, it was Hartley's car. It's ours now.
Ours?
Yes, I had a letter from Hartley this morning. I'd mentioned something about the Redberry job, and he wrote me that the car solved part of the wedding present problem until I got back from Europe sometime next month.
David, people don't give a car like this as a wedding present. Even if they're family, they don't.
Hartley did. It's just a little old last year's car he had lying idle in the garage, eating its head off in storage bills. He says it'll be a load off his mind if we'll take it.
But it's brand new.
I know. They have a town car that Julia prefers. This was just an idea with them that didn't work out.
But it's a beautiful car.
Except that you described all the things that were wrong with it from Hartley and Julia's point of view. Too gay and young there on the sedate side. And the wind's blowing through your hair. That wasn't Julia's dish, nor Hartley's either. Wind gives her Hartley's sinus.
Oh, poor Julia and Hartley. Oh, David, I'm so glad we're us. And not too proud to take leftovers.
Quite a leftover, what?
Quite. Say, David, what's this big button?
What big button?
This one here.
Claudia, don't touch that.
What's it doing?
The button puts the top back.
Oh, that's nice, though.
Not when the car's moving. Things happen. You rip off the top or go sailing or something. Anyway, it isn't good.
It might not be good, but it's lovely.
Well, I'll be... Hey, you big lug, you don't stop in the middle of traffic to put your top down and kiss your girl.
Can you suggest a better place, buddy?
All story material used on this broadcast of Claudia was under the supervision of Rose Franken and William Brown Maloney. Some ladies just take the unexpected in their stride. For example, when unexpected company drops in, they're always Johnny on the spot with hospitality. They keep a good supply of Coca-Cola on hand, all ready to serve. Coca-Cola is always welcome, always delicious. And what's more, your dealer can supply you. Next time you shop, ask for Coca-Cola in the carton or case. Every day, Monday through Friday, Claudia comes to you transcribed with the best wishes of your friendly neighbor who bottles Coca-Cola. So listen again tomorrow at the same time. And now this is Joe King saying au revoir, and remember, whoever you are, whatever you do, wherever you may be, when you think of refreshment, think of Coca-Cola. For ice-cold Coca-Cola makes any pause the pause that refreshes.
Alpha Radio's most lovable family, the Goldbergs, brought to you by Procter & Gamble, makers of Oxidol. And now about Oxidol for washing dishes. You'll find it's one of the fastest dishwashing soaps you ever had, and this is why. With Oxidol, you don't have to let dishes stand and soak as you do with slow-acting soap. Just whip up those thick, rich Oxidol suds and put your dishes in. For Oxidol, by actual test, cuts grease 25% faster than ordinary soap, which means you don't have to change your dishwashing habits to use Oxidol. No mess. You wash them just the same as you always have, only you get more suds with Oxidol and you get the grease cut quicker. You see, the dishes come out clear and shiny. And when they're rinsed and ready for drying, you don't have to rub and polish them clean because Oxidol leaves no greasy soap film on dishes the way other soaps can do. That's because Oxidol dissolves completely. Every last particle goes into thick, hard-working suds. And when a soap doesn't dissolve like this, doesn't go entirely into suds, you'll find it leaves a greasy soap film on your dishes. The sort of thing you have to get off with extra hot rinsing water and then polish and rub off with the dish towel. Remember this the next time you wash dishes. Use Oxidol and get them clean 25% faster than you're used to with ordinary soaps. Get every glass, dish, and knife and fork spotlessly clean and shiny with none of the old-time greasy soap film to scrub off on your dish towel. All of which means you save time in doing dishes and get better results, too. Try Oxidol, spelled O-X-Y-D-O-L, tonight and see for yourself. And now, the Goldberg. Friday, Molly Goldberg proposed a plan to the ladies of Lastonbury for creating a security fund in case the mill their husbands are opening fails. The plan is to sell flower seeds. The seeds are to come from California, where Mr. Cuney, Molly's boarder, has a friend in the business. The women were wildly enthusiastic about the plan. In fact, decided to name the seeds in Molly's honor. But before the seeds can be sold, they've got to be bought and paid for. And where's the money to come from? Everyone has put their last few dollars in the mill. Listen.
What time does the last mail leave, Sammy?
You have to get your mail at the post office at least an hour before train time.
Sammy, you're sure Mr. Cunis said that today was the last?
If you don't send for the seeds today, you won't get them back in time. Don't forget, everything's got to come from California.
I know.
Oh, gee, then drop it, Ma. What's the use? You can't steal the money.
No, I can't steal it. They would only send the seeds COD.
Ma, you know they won't.
I had it all planned out, so give me my list, please. Show you already who gave something to ready for the seeds.
And you still haven't enough, am I?
No. Sammy, how much did I give you this week? I mean, for the fare to school and...
Oh, the same as you give me every week, Ma.
Sam, say no if it's no, but maybe just for 1 week, if you got up a little earlier in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, Junior Slauson, he drives the milk truck. Maybe you could take a hitch with him every morning, and then you wouldn't have to take the train, huh? Just 1 week, family. Martha?
No, Mark, I came over just as soon as I could.
I'm glad.
Anybody just came in with a few dollars.
Yeah, oh, I'm glad.
There ain't much coming in, is there?
No, and this is the last day. If we don't send out the money order today, then there's no use sending out at all, because we wouldn't get the seeds back in time.
Money can play the mischief. They haven't got it. I never could seem to get the hang of it.
I could take the doll back that I bought for Mr. Cuny's little girl. She won't be here for a little while yet. And...
You want to try it, Rosalie?
Uh-huh.
How much was the doll?
$6.
Oh. Who did you buy it from?
Deckers,
well, you just tell Charlie Decker that Martha Wilberforce said for him to take the doll and give you back the cash.
Do you think he'll do it?
Mention my name, see if he don't. My father set him up in business 30 years ago. I could have been Mrs. Decker if I chose to be, but I didn't.
I'll just say that Martha Wilberforce...
That'll be all you have to say.
All right, so put on your coat, Rosalie. Sammy, you want to walk over with Rosie, huh?
Well, all right, but hurry up there, Rosalie.
Now, put $6 more on that list. Let's see what we have.
All right, $6.
Oh, that still doesn't do it, does it? Let me look at that list. Did you call Mildred Halter?
Let me see, Mildred Halter? No, I didn't.
Why not?
But Mr. Goldberg said they're awful poor, sir.
Awfully poor. Well, aren't we all poor? We wouldn't be scraping pennies together if we were rich. Now, there's Sadie Lockett.
Sadie Lockett and Tara Bullitt, neither. No, and Rachel...
For pity's sake, Mrs. Goldberg. You can't expect to collect money if you're scared to ask for it. How are they going to know unless you tell them?
Well, let me see.
I'll call Sarah Bullitt first. Hope she has a phone. Ask operator for Sarah Bullock's phone while I get some more of these names.
All right, so maybe we'll get the letter out today anyway.
Well, not if we set hand twiddle our thumbs, we won't.
All right, darling, all right.
Oh,
thanks, Tamley, darling. Hello? Hello, what's the name, Arthur?
Sarah Bullock.
Sarah Bullock's place, please. Sarah Bullock's place, please. Yes. Sarah Bullock.
Ma, will you lift that child up so as I can answer the phone, please?
I don't know what you want to telephone for. You ain't had a bit of good news come over that wire since you had it.
Hello? Well, yes, Martha? Yes? Seeds? This is the first I've heard of it. Well, Nat's put everything we have in the mill.
More than he's got.
Well, will you hold on a minute?
What's Martha Wilberforce stirring up now?
It ain't only Martha, Ma. All the women in town are sending away for seeds.
Seeds? You've got to have land to plant seeds in. Nat sold the last piece of land you could plant anything in.
These are flower seeds. It ain't the seeds so much. It's about selling them and raising some money. Ms. Goldberg's going to New York with them and see if she can do something.
This town ain't been the same since them people come here.
Ma, Martha's on the phone. Ma, do you think you could let me have just a little?
What I've got saved is my own. My only comfort in living this, knowing I'll get a decent burial when I die.
I ain't got all day. Yes?
Well, what did you say?
Yes? Well, then, be at the post office not later than four. Goodbye. That's one.
Why, that's one. And what did she say?
She says she'll see what she can do when she comes down.
Uh-huh. And did you add in Stanley's $3?
Yes.
Now call, let me see.
Mildred Halter.
Mildred Halter. All right. Now call Mildred Halter. Hello? Hello, Central? Mildred Halter. Yes, Mildred Halter, please. Mildred?
Hello. Yes, this is Mildred Halter. Oh, hello, Martha. Well, for pity's sake, what makes you call? Yes. Seed. Mm-hmm. Well, Martha, I've got more trouble now than it's human to bear. The government inspector is just after condemning six of my cows. Well, of course, they'll pay me for them, but when? Well, Joe, let our best Guernseys go. It's all in the mill. Well, everything's in the mill. Well, yes, I know all that, I've got a few dollars. If Joe ain't found where I hid it, it's still there. Well, hold on a minute. Hello? Hello? Hello, Martha? Martha, hello? Yes.
Hello? Yes? Will you be at the post office at four? Because we've got to send a money order out today, Mildred. If we don't, we won't get the seeds back in time. Don't you see? All right. At the post office at four.
At the post office at four. At the post office at four.
Yeah, well, we're expecting you to come along.
4 o'clock already?
These mailbags have got to go down to the depot, Martha.
I know they do, John Bowden, but you'll have to wait.
Who are we waiting for?
Mildred Halter and Sarah.
Well, you can wait, ladies, but the government can't wait, and I'll have to bring these bags down to the station.
But we have to send the seeds and the money order today. It's for the seeds, Mr. Bowden.
We want a money order, John.
Well, all right. That's what I'm here for. How much is it?
Well, that's what we're waiting to find out.
Ladies, come now.
Oh, here you are, Martha. It's my last $4.
Here's my last $8, Martha.
Oh, my. That makes 12.
88, and that makes
100.
Well, here, I'll make it out for 100.
Yes, sir. Mr. Bowden, $100 for the money order.
All right. Now, who's it to go to, ma'am?
Just one second, Mr. Bowden. Special delivery airmail. I want special delivery airmail because
we've
got to go to California.
Yes?
Here, Mr. Bowden.
Is this the address on here?
Write it down carefully.
All right,
I'll sign.
Yeah, all right.
You got it?
California? All right. Here you are. Now, that'll cost you 38 cents.
38 cents? Wait.
38 cents?
I don't think I have a penny with
me. Who's got
money, anyone?
Well, I guess I'll have to pay for it myself. Well, there's my contribution, ladies. But remember, I want it back in seed.
And so the money order for the flower seeds Molly and her friends are to sell is finally on its way. With it go the hopes and prayers and the last few pennies of practically every woman in town. Is Molly aware of the great responsibility she's assumed? And how about Jake? Will he succeed in getting the mill open in time? Be sure to listen tomorrow. You know, even women who thought they were using the best dishwashing soap are changing to Oxidol these days. They find Oxidol takes the drudgery out of dishwashing. Give such thick, rich suds, melt grease so fast, even the biggest pile of dirty dishes disappears as if by magic. You save time, you save work, and you save your hands every time you use it. For along with its amazing efficiency, Oxidol gives safety to hands such as you can't get from old, harsh soap. It's the result of a remarkable new process and a new formula that makes mild, gentle soap 2 to 3 times more efficient, yet keep it safe. Try Oxidol. Why not buy a package when you go to the store today? Keep your hands lovely and at the same time, get the dishwashing job done faster than ever before. Look for the box with the orange and blue circles marked O-X-Y-D-O-L, Oxidol. And be sure to hear the Goldbergs tomorrow. Molly has persuaded the women of Lastonbury to put their last few pennies in her plan to sell flower seeds. Jake has persuaded the men to put their savings into the mill. Now, a new complication arises. Be here tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Ray Saunders saying goodbye for the makers of Oxidol.
The story of Mert and Marge. Things moved fast the last time we saw Mert and Marge. They had just left the theater after the big opening of the new Hayfield's Pleasure, you remember, when an attempt was made to hold them up. The girls were on their way to a party with Ray Hunt and Jack Arnold, the young assistant district attorney, who had helped Marge get her job with the Chick Chicks. Hunt managed to beat off the would-be hold-up man, but not before Margie recognized the robber's voice as that of her foster brother, Jimmy Minter. It's a situation that's packed with dramatic possibilities, and in just a moment, we'll find out what they are in today's episode of the story of Mert and Marge. It's the following morning in Mert's apartment. The girls are sleeping.
I could sleep for a week.
Hello. Oh, 11 o'clock. Thanks, operator.
Say, send up all the morning papers, please. Yeah, thanks. Margie. Margie, wake up. Doesn't she look sweet? Just a little baby. Margie, wake up, honey. 11 o'clock. Another day to do things.
Oh. Oh. You up already, Myrtle?
Uh-huh. Just got up.
Oh, Myrtle, I was having the weirdest dream. The opening of the show and the hold-up and the party all mixed up. And Jimmy was holding up the party and we were having it on the stage all in the first act.
Don't even talk about that hold-up, Margie. Oh. And if anyone asks you any questions, you don't know anything about it.
All right, Myrtle, I'll do as you say, but I'm awfully worried. And to think Jimmy tried to shoot us.
Well, stop worrying. After all, none of the shots even touched the car. Oh, I'll turn on your bath, Margie. Then I'll put on the coffee, and we'll find out what the critics have to say about the show while we're eating breakfast.
Gosh, what a darling little apartment. Everything's so compact. Oh, this cute piano, all green and gold. Gosh.
Come on out and see my kitchen and dinette, Margie.
Oh, I adore this place. Oh, look, this little nook just seats four.
Well, you'd be surprised how many have been around that table when we've had a gang in for corned beef and cabbage or spaghetti.
You must be very happy here.
Yeah, I am. I guess I got an old-fashioned domestic streak. I love to cook. Do you want orange juice, tomato juice, or melon?
I love melon.
These are the old-fashioned mush kind.
Oh, Myrtle, I just happened to think.
What, dear?
Well, Mrs. Morris say about my not coming home last night.
Oh, I fixed that. I phoned her from Jack Arnold.
Oh, thanks, Myrtle.
Say, we'll have to hurry a bit, Margie. You know, we're called for 1 o'clock rehearsal.
Oh, I've got to go and turn the water off.
Oh, there's the morning papers. Just a minute.
Good morning, Kate.
Well, Clarence, what are you doing here?
Oh, I was just passing by the apartment, and I had a terrific idea. Simply devastating, so I came up to tell you.
Oh, hello, Clarence.
Hello, Marge. Oh, by the way, here are your papers, Mert.
I took them
from the elevator, man.
Thanks a lot.
Wonderful reviews. We're a hit. Definitely a hit.
Oh, that's wonderful. See, what's your idea, Clarence?
Well, you know that scene in which Marge comes on stage dressed like a bride?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's all dressed in white.
Well, isn't that the way brides generally dress, Clarence?
That's it, exactly. It's so trite. So I said to myself, why white? Why not cerise?
Cerise? Ye God.
It'll be sensational. If I were in Hollywood, I'd be sure to get an Oscar for the idea.
Well, maybe you better talk to Ray Hunt, Clarence. Shoot the stunt, the hunt. He's the man.
That's just what I'll do. He'll love it.
Well, now, don't think you're being evicted, Clarence, but we've got to get at rehearsal at 1 o'clock, you know.
Oh, I was just leaving anyway. I simply had to tell someone, though. Cerise. Oh, I always adored Cerise.
That Clarence, he kills me. Oh, you'll get used to him, Margie, though.
Oh, I think he's funny. Say, wasn't the party fun last night? I laughed so much at those comedians.
Oh, they're always clowning. See, it was a nice party. Not a casualty in the carload.
Oh, Mr. Arnold fixed me a special drink of pineapple juice, oranges, cherries, and mint. He said it wasn't a kick in a barrel.
Oh, Jack's a great host. I'll have him up here some night for one of my specials.
Will he invite me?
Well, we'll see about it. Say, you better get into your tub, dear. It's late.
If it wasn't for Jimmy, I'd feel so happy I could sing.
Sing before breakfast, cry before supper. Uh-oh, the coffee's boiling over.
You know, I said I was never going to cry anymore.
You like a cheese and bacon omelet, Margie?
Yeah, and pancakes.
Well, I haven't time for those this morning. You get toast.
Oh, wouldn't I just love to have a little apartment like this and have Mother and Daddy Minter come to live with me?
Well, we take your dad down to meet the girls. I bet he'd get a kick out of that.
He's a little old-fashioned. Myrtle, will you wash my back?
Just a minute. Don't want to burn the bacon. All right, give me the brush.
Here. Ouch, ouch, don't squat so hard.
Well, hold still. Here, let me see your neck. Well, it's not so bad. Now, take a nice cold shower and hurry. Breakfast is almost ready. Oh, the bacon's burning.
Oh, it's cold. Oh, now, where's that towel? Oh, here it is. Gee, that water was cold.
You almost ready?
Yeah. Myrtle, may I use some of this nice smelly talcum?
Use anything you find there.
Can I use just a little bit of everything? will get flat.
Oh, let's see. Oh, here's some brilliant tint. Oh, that is nice. And hand lotion. Mm-hmm. Mm, this looks like nice toilet water. Mm, smells good. Skin rejuvenator. Well, I guess I don't need that. An astringent? Now, dusting powder. Mm, that's nice. Well, I guess that's all.
Come on, Margie. Breakfast ready.
Oh, I'm getting into my pajamas. Oh, here I am. Boy, am I hungry as a bear.
Oh, Margie, you smell like a harem.
Oh, Myrtle, do you think I overdid it?
Well, rather. Never mind, you'll air off when you get outdoors. Sit down and eat your melon now. I'll pour the coffee.
I wish I could cook. I can make good fudge.
Well, that's something. Say, I've just got to see what the papers say. Oh, here it is. The Times says, Hayfield's Pleasures, the new edition, is a pleasure indeed, from the rise of the curtain to the last picture.
Oh.
And what pictures? Each one an eyeful to please the TBM.
What's that?
Tired businessman.
Oh.
He goes on to praise Dixie Lane. All down the line. Says Wooden Smith don't belong. That's one of the teams. Oh, too bad. Oh, the girls.
Oh.
The Chick Chicks, in their various numbers, clicked in their usual perfect unison. This year, Ray Hunt's choreography is above standard. The Butterfly Ballet, a thrill to all aesthetic-minded. And in the model parade, an unusual display of pulchritude. Usual hairstyle. A few inches of chiffon and beautiful reasons why we go to see the pleasure. Oh, and listen to this. And last but not at all least, a tiny little bride actually covered from head to foot.
He means you, Margie.
He means me.
And listen, and strange as it may seem, the little bride collected the biggest hand.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, darn. Read the rest while I answer the phone, dear.
Okay.
And find the notices in the other paper in the theatrical page. Hello? Oh, hello, Ray. Oh, I feel fine. Knee's all right. Head's all right. There was a good girl last night. Oh, is my face red? Don't you know it's dangerous to say such things over the phone? Well, it sounds good. Yeah, we'll be at rehearsal. I was just reading the Times. What'd you say? On the front page. Well, I haven't seen it. You don't mean it. Well, have we really got to go after rehearsal? Well, I'll see you at 1 o'clock then. Bye. Let me have the Times, Margie. Front page. Oh, here it is.
What is it?
An account of the holdup.
Oh, what does it say, Myrtle?
A daring attempt to hold up Ray Hunt, stage director of Hayfield's Pleasures, and Jack Arnold, young New York assistant district attorney, was made last night at the street entrance to the Hayfield Theater. Hunt and Arnold, accompanied by two ladies of the cast, were getting into the former's automobile after leaving the theater. Hunt succeeded in knocking the lone bandit off the running board. Patrolman Tim O'Malley, who witnessed the affair, fired two shots, wounding the bandit seriously. Oh, O'Malley took possession of the bandit's gun, which was found to be unloaded. The man is in Broadside Hospital, still unconscious. He's not given much chance for recovery.
Oh, he's dying. Oh, Jimmy didn't shoot at us.
No. The papers say it was the policeman who fired the shots. But we've got to go to the hospital after rehearsal to identify the bandit.
Well, what do we do? What do we say?
You know what I think, Margie? I think perhaps Jimmy might be worth saving.
Oh, do you think so, Myrtle? We've got to save him. I'll do anything to keep all this from poor Mother and Dad.
Well, I've got a plan.
Well, what is it?
I can't tell you now. Operator, please get me the Drury Club. Mr. Ray Hunt.
Well, you're not going to tell Mr. Hunt, are you, Myrtle?
Just leave this to me, Margie. All right, operator. Hello? Hello, Ray. Yeah, this is Myrtle. Yeah. Oh, no, Ray. Well, look, could you be at the theater at 1:45? I got to talk to you. It's very important. No, I can't over the telephone. I'll tell you when I see you. All right, foolish. Here it is. You get it? You're no sweet baby yourself. Bye.
Thank you. It looks as though the girls are really on the spot. If they go to the hospital, will Margie's relationship to Jimmy be revealed? And what is Mert's idea? We'll find out when the girls meet Ray Hunt in the next fast-moving chapter of the story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.
Time now for the romance of Helen Trent. Ladies thrill at the new loveliness of your complexion, the radiant, tingling feeling that is yours after a facial with Hopper White Clay Pack. See for yourself how amazing Hopper White Clay cleans pore openings, helps tighten tired lines in your face, and loosens blackheads, which can then be easily removed. Get easy-to-use Hopper White Clay Pack today. It costs only a few cents. You'll look better, feel better after the first application. Once again, we bring you the romance of Helen Trent, who sets out to prove for herself what so many women long to prove, that because a woman is 35 or more, romance in life need not be over, that romance can live in life at 35 and after. Here's a tip for thrifty housewives. Get the big floor wax bargain, a full pint of self-polishing Aero wax for only 29 cents. Imagine that. A full pint of Aero wax costs only 29 cents. That's a big saving of 30 cents over the cost of other leading brands. Just check the other floor wax prices and prove this for yourself. And Aero wax is so easy to use. You just spread it on floors or linoleum, and they'll come shining bright without any tiresome rubbing or buffing. You'll like self-polishing Aero wax because it saves you work and money. Yes, ladies, Aero wax is the biggest floor wax bargain in the stores. Remember, you pay only 29 cents a pint for Aero wax, and you save up to 30 cents every time, even more on the larger sizes. So get that blue and white can of Aero wax at any leading store today and save. Now, the romance of Helen Trent. When Helen Trent rushed to the Hollywood apartment of the picture producer Rex Caro because of a message she thought came from Gil Whitney, she didn't know she was walking into a trap. And it wasn't until she saw the producer's lifeless form on his living room floor that she was overcome by fear and promptly fainted by the dead man's side. Now, as the seconds ticked by, Helen is unaware of other events that concern her, such as the fact that Rex Carroll's former fiancé, the jealous Rita Harrison, has been seated in her car parked across the street, watching the apartment building. Right now, she is waiting there impatiently, thinking...
She's been up there for over 5 minutes now. Maybe it's time I went up to investigate. How happy they'll be to see me. I can just picture the scene. Rex will come to the door thinking it's some messenger or something, and he'll see me standing there. Ha! Huh, that'll be a laugh. Of course, he'll try to shove me out and close the door. Or will he pretend to be glad to see me? Well, it doesn't matter. I'll get inside if I have to make the scene of a lifetime. And I'll see Helen Trent. What will she have to say, I wonder? So, you're back in Hollywood, dear. I thought you were going to Rome. Yes, how will she explain that? It better be good. I'm glad I had the hunch to come over here. It's been a real education. First, that ham actor Carl Dorn and his blackmailing companion Francine. What were they up to, I'd like to know? Why should Cynthia Swanson's personal maid Francine be running around with Carl Dorn? And why should they come sneaking out the side door like a pair of criminals? Well, time for me to investigate. I've waited here long enough. What the dickens does that woman think she's doing cutting in so close to me? If she bumps my fender...
Good heavens, it's Daisy Parker. Well, if this isn't my lucky day. Daisy Parker, Hollywood's best known and most hated gossip columnist. Right into the same building. Well, what is this, a convention? Now I know I'm going to follow her up. Just give her a chance to get there. And then...
And as Rita Harrison prepares for a big entrance, we find Helen Trent just regaining consciousness after her sudden shock. She turns her head, we hear.
Oh. Oh. What happened? I feel so strange. My head. Oh. Rex. I remember now. I must have fainted. How awful. I got to get up. Figure what to do. Oh, this is horrible. He's so still. He hasn't moved. I'd better make sure. Perhaps there's something I can do. Call a doctor. First, I'd better make sure. Take his pulse. Oh, I can't find any beat. I can't feel anything. His hand is so cold. What's that trick I saw them use in the movies? Oh, I know. Hold up a mirror. See if it clouds up when he breathes. Hold it to his lips. Now, if I can only find my purse... I've got to stop this shaking. And there it is. Now then, hold it close to his lips. There's nothing. Not a suggestion of breath. It means he's dead. Rex Carroll dead. But how? This dagger. Whatever it is here on the floor beside him. But what must I do now? Should I call the police? The telephone. Here. No. Oh, no, I'd better put it back. Suppose it was Gil Whitney. He's the one who wanted me to meet him here. Suppose Gil and Rex had a fight over me. Oh, good heavens. Shouldn't have come here. I should have stayed away and not let Gil persuade me. If he's in this, I've got to find him. Find him right now. No one knows I'm here. I'll leave. I'll find Gil Whitney.
Well, bless my soul if we don't meet again. You do get about, Helen.
Daisy Parker... What are you doing here?
Well, I might ask you the same question, my dear. Of all places in the world, Rex Carroll's apartment's the last place I'd have supposed I... Why so jumpy? You thinking of leaving?
Get out. Get out of my way, Daisy. You don't understand.
Wait a minute, Helen. Not so fast. What's happening here, anyhow? Let me come in and... Rex? It's Rex Carroll. What's happened to him, Helen?
I just found him that way. I came here and I found him lying on the floor just like that.
Is he dead?
Yes. Well, he must be. He doesn't move. I had nothing to do with this. I found him that way. Daisy, what am I going to do?
So, you just found him that way. You just happened into his apartment and you found him lying dead on the floor.
I swear it's true. I'd no idea.
And how did you happen to wander in here? Couldn't you keep away from your former admirer? Did you want him to take you back, perhaps? Maybe you wanted to make sure he wouldn't talk anymore to Gil Whitney, wouldn't go telling tales out of school.
It's not true, Daisy. Don't talk like that. You don't know what you're saying. You've got to help me figure out what to do.
Oh, you expect me to come to your rescue, dear, is that it? Do you think I'm the faithful Gil Whitney who doesn't mind chasing you from one end of the country to the other? Because you're wrong, my dear. You don't know how wrong you are. You've got yourself in a spot this time, and you won't wriggle out.
Stop it, Daisy. I can't think when you talk like that, and I've got to think clearly. I've got to figure this out.
It's a little late for that, wouldn't you say? How fortunate that I happened along. Tell me, what have you done with Rex Carroll's sister? Where's she? Hidden in the closet, maybe? Shaking and waiting for the police to rescue her?
Sister? What sister? There's no one else here.
How unfortunate for you, my pet. Evidently, you managed to get rid of her in time. But then at the last minute, you missed. You didn't know I was on my way here, did you, Helen? No, you couldn't know that. So you killed him. You hushed him up just in time. Looks like a paper knife. How did you ever manage... Well, he couldn't have suspected you. You must have pretended you were going to fall into his arms.
Stop
and
it!
Then you...
Stop it, I tell you. I can't stand any more. I didn't kill him. I had no reason to kill him.
No reason? Oh, now, Helen, you had every reason in the world. You ran away with Rex Carroll thinking he'd marry you, and when he got tired of you and refused, you were beside yourself with rage. I know how it is. The woman scorned. I also had a man run out on me, remember? Norman Hastings. And all because of you. I haven't forgotten that either. I haven't forgotten how I had to come back to Hollywood from Ireland after Norman ran away from me because he couldn't forget you. And now the scores are about to be evened, and don't you think
I
they
won't stay be. Here and listen to you, Daisy. Everything you've said is a lie. I didn't kill him. I only came here because...
Yes? Why did you come here, Helen? I'd like to know.
Because I had a message, because I was told to come here.
And who told you? Who was this mysterious message from?
From... I thought it was from someone I knew. But it must have been a mistake. This whole thing is a mistake. It's a trap. I was meant to walk into this. I should have known from the start that I didn't have a chance. Daisy, it's the telephone. Maybe...
Don't you touch it. Don't you dare touch that. Leave it to me. There may be important fingerprints on that instrument. I'll handle it by the far end and with a handkerchief. Yes?
Is Helen... Is Mrs. Trent there?
Why, yes. As a matter of fact, she is. Who's this calling, please?
Gil Whitney. Please let me speak to her at once. It's very important.
Gil! Oh, Gil, darling, how fortunate that you called at this time.
Who is this?
It's Daisy Parker. Didn't you recognize my voice?
What are you doing there?
Oh, come now, Gil. You know it's Gil. My business to be on the spot when anything happens. Today must be my lucky day.
Is that Gil?
Day.
Did you say Gil Whitney?
Be still. I'm talking, Helen.
If that's Gil Whitney, I've got to speak to
him. Right, I said. You can speak when I get through.
What's happening there anyhow? I want to speak to Helen.
Of course, Gil, darling. I'll put her right on. She's very anxious to talk to you. As a matter of fact, you see, Helen Trent has just killed her former admirer.
What?
I'll let you speak
let
to her.
Let me have that
here,
phone,
dear.
Please.
Go right ahead.
Helen, is that you, Helen? For heaven's sake, what's happening?
I don't know, Gil. I don't know. It's too horrible. It's Rex.
What about him? What's happened?
He's dead, Gil. He's been murdered.
Won't want to miss the next dramatic chapter in the romance of Helen Trent. Thousands more housewives agree every day 39 cents is the right price for a Wick deodorizer, and Wizard Wick is the best buy. Yes, ladies, Wizard Wick is the sensational new air freshener that costs only 39 cents and banishes unpleasant odors fast and sure. It's fast because all you do is pop up the wick and Wizard goes to work. It's sure because even pungent cooking odors are quickly disposed of. From attic to cellar, wherever stuffy air gathers or bad odors originate, Wizard Wick will bring a wonderful piney freshness and make your home a nice place to breathe in. No wick deodorizer can do a better job than Wizard, yet you save up to 30 cents when compared to the cost of the high-priced brand. In fact, Wizard Wick is so economical, you can afford to use it in every room. Ask for Wizard Wick by name. That's W-I-Z-A-R-D. Wizard Wick. Get a bottle at your favorite store for only 39 cents today. Helen Trent will be on the air at this same time Monday. This is Field and Farrington saying goodbye for the sponsors of Helen Trent.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.